You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois, our state's capital. Joining us in studio in the Allstate Showcase studio is comedian James Vickery, and on the line we have State Representative Robert Martwick. And today they adjourned the 99th General Assembly. What happens tomorrow, Representative?
Well, we inaugurate the 100th General Assembly. So that will be the lead-in to the bicentennial of the state of Illinois in 2018. So the next 2 years will be the 100th General Assembly. And it can't come soon enough because that 99th needs to go into the annals of history as an example of not how not to govern a state government.
It's been a bizarre few years, and I know that you've struggled with what's been going on, and valiantly been trying to explain to us how this is working out. Now, comedian James Vickery is in studio, and we were talking to Representative Batnick. I didn't talk too much about the vote. We touched on it at least with Speaker of the House Michael Madigan. He's sure to win again. James, what did you want to ask?
I did have a question because I heard. Right. It was at the end of the conversation, but they're voting tomorrow. And his expectation was that, you know, people were going to vote. And I'm just genuinely curious. Why? What is that vote?
Why?
But, you know, like, I don't even mean that necessarily incredulously. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just it was such a given that with little explanation, I'm just curious about why that vote is going to happen.
Well, sure. So it's a matter of course. There has to be a vote for the speaker at the beginning of the, you know, at the inauguration. It's the first order of business. So we all get sworn in, we take our oath of office. And, you know, for the new people that weren't, they are now officially state representatives. And we are, you know, we were back in office for those of us who were previously in office. And so the first thing that we have to do is we have to select the speaker.
Right.
So there is a vote. And that vote, understand that there are two people. You have two choices. OK, so you either have the leader of the Democrats or the leader of the Republicans. So it's either Michael J. Madigan or James Durkin. So people say, well, why would you vote for Madigan? Well, for me, it's a no brainer. Who else would I vote for? You know, on the one hand, you've got Michael J. Madigan and everybody knows all the negatives about him. And I'm not going to try and explain all of that. And that's fine. Everyone can have their own opinions. But the bottom line is, over the course of the last 2 years, while the governor has tried to strip away workplace protections from middle-class workers in favor of making businesses more profitable for the business owners, when he's tried to strip away collective bargaining rights from union employees, when he's tried to, you know, take away access to democracy for people, there's been one guy who's been standing and towing the Democratic line and fighting against that, and that's Michael J. Madigan. So I have a choice. I can either vote for the guy who does whatever Rauner tells him to do, or I can vote for the guy that's fighting for the values of working class families, and that's Michael J. Madigan. So for me, it's a pretty easy decision, right? I got elected by Democrats to support Democratic principles, and the one guy that is standing up for them from a leadership standpoint is Michael J. Madigan. So I'll vote for him every day of the week and twice on Sundays if I can.
And that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm a Democrat by nature, I will say. Voted that way.
Were you raised in the woods?
Yeah, I have no official
in the
proclamation.
Wild,
I was raised by Wolf Depper, Democrats.
Right. And you know, people talk about, well, why Madigan? Why isn't there another Democrat who steps up to challenge him? And I get that. But understand, too, we are in a philosophical battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's what it's not about. We're not battling about the budget. The budget is simple math. The Senate showed that you can figure out the math real simple. They had a plan all set to go. But, you know, details, details, details. But figuring out the math for the budget is not complicated. We're fighting over whether or not unions have a right to exist, whether, the flow of money out of the government goes towards the middle class or goes towards the wealthy. And that philosophical battle is what we're waging right now. And so, you know, when people say, why don't you get rid of Madigan? Well, when you're running against a guy who just put $50 million of his own money when he wasn't even running to help candidates win races, you don't want somebody new, somebody who's never been there before, somebody who doesn't know where the bathrooms are located. You want the guy who's been there, the guy who's battle-tested, right? This is – it's no joke. It's a pretty serious battle. We know he's got his downsides. We know there are some negatives that go with him. There is the question of whether or not he has too much power or whatever. But and I heard Representative Batnick talk about some of those issues, and those are legitimate. I'm not going to dismiss them. I'm not going to say they're not true. Those are worth discussing. But right now, it's a pretty easy choice. You know, I mean, I had people come up to me and say, "Why don't you run for speaker?" Well, hey, I'd love to be speaker. Right? Who wouldn't want to be speaker? But at this point, you want the guy who's been in battle and knows what to do. What good would it be if I were to challenge Michael J. Madigan, get the speakership, and then cost the Democrats the House and let Ronald run roughshod over the state? Well, that I wouldn't be servicing my party very well. So my constituents might not like my vote for Madigan, but they elected me to make good decisions and to protect the things that they care about. I think that's a pretty good decision.
And the people who have voted for Governor Rauner would say that, you know, because he, you know, it's not that he's working for the millionaires. You know, he's working for business because, you know, that's who creates the jobs. You know, we point to places like Wisconsin and Indiana where a lot of the things that you do fight for, which are workman's comp and bargaining rights and, you know, right to work state rules, those have been diminished there. And that's what Rauner wants to do here. Why is it important to fight against that?
Well, I mean, I think it's really a matter of what you believe in, right? So Governor Rauner, and again, I'm not suggesting he's wrong. He may be right. And I'm one of the first people who would tell you that. But I don't believe he is, right? I come from a different set of values. I believe that the best way forward is from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down, right? His policies are about enriching the corporate class, of which he's a member. You know, he always talks about how bad it is in Illinois, how bad it is for the job creators. And yet his income since he took the office of governor, while the rest of the state, he talks about we've had this out-migration of people out of the state that has accelerated while he has been governor. Our fiscal condition is as bad as it can be. But the tax rate did drop from 5 to 3.75%, so a huge tax decrease, which everyone screams about. Well, that helps the business class. And yet, who is succeeding in this Illinois? Not the working class, certainly not the poor, Patty, and the people who are disabled. You've seen how much of their services and programs have been cut that have affected their lives. Who's succeeding? Well, last year, Governor Rauner made about $45 million. This year, he made $188 million. So I would suggest that the very top of the food chain is doing okay. And, you know, so what we need to be doing is we need to be strengthening opportunities. We absolutely need to be looking to help business, but small business, Main Street business, every business, not just the corporate elite.
How's it sound, James?
That sounds great to me. It really does. Can I ask a procedural question?
Of course.
Sure.
How is it determined that Michael Madigan would be the Democratic nominee for the speaker position?
So that's done in a caucus meeting. Okay, so that is all of the Democratic members meet off campus. It is not a part of the official business. It is a private caucus meeting, and in there are nominations made for speaker, and then there's a vote taken on the speaker.
How many people just out of curiosity, like, who's involved in, like, that caucus?
All of the Democrats.
Okay.
Every single Democrat,
every single one,
member of the House of Representatives is present at that meeting.
Gotcha. Because here's I was glad you used the phrase, like, philosophical differences. And I agree with that. Like, I feel like that's a lot, even watching the president's speech tonight. Like, you get at the heart, like, what the core of being, like, a citizen is, or, you know, just part of this society. So do you feel like, and I'm honestly asking this not as like a leading question, like, oh, you know, trying to trap. I'm genuinely curious. Like, do you think you really do feel like Michael Madigan looks out for those ideals?
Well,
that you talked about.
I can't see into the heart of the man, but what I would know is what I would say is that he has on those certain issues that we've talked about, the rights. And, you know, I'm a big believer in the right to collectively, to organize and collectively bargain right. for a better workplace. I think that's fundamental to a democracy. Michael Madigan is standing up to protect those rights while Bruce Rauner is looking to diminish them, to pass laws to prohibit people from freely organizing and collective bargaining for a better workplace. So, you know, who's right? Well, I believe that you should have the right to organize. And Michael Madigan's the guy standing up for that. So that's the guy I'm going to support. I'm not going to support Jim Durkin, who is supporting Governor Rauner's attempts to diminish it. So, no, and, you know, these are philosophical differences. I try not to bring in the personal stuff because I really, you know, there are good people and bad people on both sides of the aisle. You know, you just had one of my favorite people in the legislature, Mark Batnick, on here. I think Mark and I have very, very different opinions on a lot of issues, but we have a lot of common respect for the fact that we get the right to have different opinions, and we look for things that we can work on together, and we try and find that common good. He supported me on my bills. I'm co-sponsoring some of his bills. So there is always room to find a middle ground if you're willing to have that respect. That's one of my biggest criticisms of the governor, is that there's been very little respect. You know, he's made it very personal. He's hired trackers to follow around Democrats and videotape them and try and catch them in compromising positions, as it were. And, you know, that's not the way to govern, you know.
Well, I want to thank Representative Martwick for joining us. I know you have family in town and you've got a long day tomorrow. We will catch up with you again very soon. I look forward to it. Absolutely. Thank you so much for everything, sir. And I'm going to wrap
Thanks
up our
for having me on.
Of course. And really get some rest. I know the baby's going to keep you up tonight.
yes, he is.
Get a little Bobby in tonight. All right. Have a great night, sir.
Thank you. Good night.